morning. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to John chapter 21. So let's turn to John chapter 21. And we're going to focus this morning on verses 15 to 17. But why don't we just read through the whole, why don't we read through the chapter from starting from verse 1, just to give ourselves an idea of the context. And so John chapter 21, and we'll read from the beginning. And it said, "After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We will also come with you.' They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, 'Children, you do not have any fish, do you?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch.' So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garments on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out of the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have now caught.' Simon Peter went up and drew up the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples ventured to question him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead." And I will read from our focus for today, which is verse 15. And it says, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to them, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" So let's pray this morning. So Lord Jesus, we just invite you right now to come and reveal your word to us, reveal the truth in your word. And as we gather this morning to really seek after you, would you reveal a greater portion of your presence to us today, God? And so I thank you, and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see here, the focus of our verse is Jesus appears to the disciples a third time. And after he appears to them, it's really bright, excuse me. After he appears to them the third time, they catch all this fish, and Jesus says, "Come, have breakfast." And they have breakfast, and afterwards, after finishing breakfast, Jesus asks this question to Simon, and I'm sure you've all heard this. "Simon, do you love me? Tend my lambs. Simon, do you love me? Shepherd my sheep. Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know all things." And he says, "Tend my sheep." And today I want to look at three aspects of this short passage, verses 15 to 17. And the first thing that I want to look at actually is the number three. And we see that Jesus asked Simon three times the same question. And when I first read this when I was younger, the way that I interpreted it was Jesus really wants to make sure that Simon Peter loves him, right? "Simon, do you love me? Are you sure that you love me? One more time, do you love me?" And by the end, Simon is, "Oh, so annoying, Jesus. Stop asking me a third time." And then he's like, "Yes, I love you." You know, it's... And it's almost this idea that Jesus is making sure, are you making sure, that he loves him. But actually, if we look at the Greek of what's happening here, so there are actually two words for love that are being used in this particular passage. So the first two times Jesus asks the question, he uses the Greek word for love, agapao, which is this idea of to love dearly. In fact, to love to the point of sacrifice. It is basically in the Greek vocabulary, it is the highest form of love there is, to love to the point of sacrifice. He asks him twice, Simon, son of John, do you agapao wo, me? Right? Do you agapao me? And each time, Peter answers, not with the agapao, but with the other word for love, which is phileo. And what phileo is not a type of fish, but what it means is it's to love somebody like a friend, right? It's to love somebody like a friend, like a brother. The city Philadelphia, city of brother love, comes from this word phileo. And in fact, it can also be translated as the word kiss. So it is also a word for love, but on the spectrum of love, it is actually a lower form of love in comparison to agapao or agape, which is what we're more used to saying. And the third time Jesus asks the same question, he then says, Simon Peter, do you phileo me? And then John replies again, yes, I phileo you. So we see here twice Jesus asks, do you agape me? John says, phileo. Agape, phileo. Okay, phileo, phileo. And we see this, there's a slight change, there's a slight difference in what Jesus is asking. And we have to look at this from the perspective of Peter, right? We have to look at this from the perspective of why doesn't Peter just answer the question as it is asked of him? But if we look at Peter, you know, we learned yesterday, Pastor Nate talked about, he talked about the betrayal that Peter had for Jesus. You know, not only did he talk about the prediction of the betrayal, where Simon said, yes, Lord, I will do anything for you. And then Jesus says, no, in fact, you will deny me three times. And then the second part was the shame of when he actually does betray him. John, knowing that all that he had said earlier is now nothing. Now he has said all these things, and now we see actually that he failed. And so Peter. And so if we look at Peter, we look at him right now. Here he comes, and this is many scholars say this may be the first time that he saw Jesus after the resurrection. After his resurrection. And so we see Jesus is asking, do you love me selflessly? Are you willing to sacrifice for me? This form of love, do you agape me? And Simon Peter, out of the shame of his own brokenness, because he knows, how can I say that I agape you, Lord? How can he say that? So in return, he answers with the word phileo. He says, yes, I do love you, God. But how can I say that I love you to the agape point? But even more interesting than that, right? If we look at this three times, Jesus asks him the same question three times. And why is this number three significant for Peter? I'm sure you guys know, is Peter denied Jesus those very same three times. Hey, aren't you the follower of Jesus? No, I'm not. Hey, weren't you with Jesus in Galilee? No, I'm not. Aren't you a Nazarene? Weren't you following Jesus? No, I'm not. I tell you right now, I am not he. Who are you looking for? And Jesus, what does he do in this passage? What does he do? He turns it around and he asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And we see this three times. And if we look at actually verse 17, it says, when it says that Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, do you love me? And this grieved, this word grieved, lupeo, is to be grieved, to be made sorrowful. Why is he sorrowful? Is he sorrowful because Jesus doubts his love? I think actually when we look at this, we see that there is sorrow because suddenly that third time before, during his denial, when the rooster crowed, now Peter is remembering this. He's remembering that, yes, I denied my Christ three times. And on this third time, suddenly Peter is reminded of his failure and their sorrow. And yet he says to Jesus, he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. number three. The second thing I want to look at is verse 15, actually. And the first time, and actually, it looks like Jesus asking the same question, but as you see, actually, there are subtle differences. One of the differences in the first question, and that's what I want to look at, is Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And that phrase, more than these. Every other time he asks is, do you love me? But this first time he asks, do you love me more than these? And so we see in the beginning, we see that Simon Peter, he was with some of the other disciples. He was with Thomas, he was with Nathaniel, with the sons of Zebedee. And we see that they're all together here. And so when Peter, and so when Jesus asks, do you love me more than these? Basically, he's pointing to these other guys. So he's saying, Jeff, do you love me more than these over here? Right? Thank you. And we see, why does Jesus ask that? Why does he ask it like that? Why does he ask it in such a comparing sort of way? Why is that first question different? And as you guys know, Peter was actually the most outspoken of all the other disciples. You know, in many ways, he was the loudest one. He was the brashest one. He was the one that always moved to action first. And yesterday, we looked at the prediction of betrayal. And actually, if we look at what Peter said earlier than that, what does Peter say? Peter says, actually in Matthew 26:33, I'll just read it for you. It says, Peter said to him, and this was, he said to Jesus, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Right? Even though all may fall away from you, I will never fall away. What does this reveal? It shows Peter, Simon Peter already thinks, I love Jesus more than everybody else. I already love Jesus more than anyone. In fact, Jesus, if anybody else, they may all leave you, but I'm not going to leave you, God, because I'm going to be with you the whole time. And then immediately Jesus, and this is right before he betrays Jesus. He denies him three times. And so now what we see is happening is, you know, we've learned that, you know, a man either chooses to be humble or he becomes humiliated. And we see here that obvious example of Peter had this pride, this arrogance, this confidence that I am the best follower of Jesus. And yet we see that he's humiliated because he denies him three times. All his words come to nothing. And now, before the other disciples, Jesus comes before him and he says, Simon, Peter, do you love me more than these? You said before all these things about how even though others will fall away, and Jesus in this time obviously knows about Peter's denial, and everybody there in fact knows about Peter's denial, and yet Jesus still asks him, do you love me more than these? And we see that it may seem like it's the same kind of question, like this pride, do you love me more than these in terms of comparison? But what we see here is this is an opportunity for Simon to humble himself. It's actually an opportunity for Simon to humble himself. We see his answer. He does say, yes, Lord, but what his answer is a different tone from what we've seen before from Peter. Instead of saying, yes, I will do everything for you, I will die for you, I'll follow you no matter where you go. Instead, he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. And we see that before the other disciples, Jesus is asking me these questions, but he's not asking him these questions as shame, but before his disciples, he's saying, before them right now, will you declare that you still love me? And in fact, you know, even if we look at this Bible, we see that this Bible was written many years after Jesus went back. And it was written by these very disciples that Simon Peter had been with. And I don't know about you, but if somebody is writing a story and there's a part about me that's sort of embarrassing like this, like the denial, like the shame of this and all these mistakes and all these, I mean, if we look at Peter throughout the Bible, actually all we see many times is his mistakes, especially in the Gospels, right? We see, oh, this guy, why he cut off the ear of the guard? Why did you doubt when you were on the water? Why did you do all these things, all these mistakes? Actually, we only see mistakes from Peter. And can you imagine if my friend was writing a story about these situations, I would be like, excuse me, hey, could you make me sound a little bit better, right? Make me sound at least a little good, right? Like, yeah, the waves were really strong and a big one hit me and I fell into the water and that's why I went in, not because I had little faith, right? But we see again and again these stories of Simon Peter, him being basically humiliated, right? All these stories of him and his mistakes and all these things. And at this time, at the time when this was written, Simon Peter was a leader of the church. He was the big guy in church. And in fact, he knew the people that were writing these gospels. He could have easily just gone to them and said this. But the fact that these examples exist in the Bible actually shows this level of humility that I think Simon Peter had. This level of humility to say, yes, I did make these mistakes. And yes, I will reveal them. Because through this is because that humility, through that, there's redemption. And so Simon Peter, and so we see that before we see Simon Peter, he was humiliated by his failure. But we see actually that through this, he learns humility. He learns to be humble. That instead of being brash with his words, he's careful and says, yes, I do love you. By this very existence of this story and the gospel that we're reading, we see that he is humbled and even his mistakes. You know, we learned yesterday that Simon, you know, by saying, you know, the self-perception of what Simon thought he was and what Jesus knew him to be was very different. But now we see, and so Simon now wants to show himself as he truly is. The third thing I want to look at today and the final thing that I want to look at is his name. I want to look at the name. And every time, obviously, we see that his name is Simon Peter, but every time Jesus asks him a question, and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? And actually, if we look at the Peter, you know, in the church, we often refer to him as Peter, as the Apostle Peter. And actually, this name Peter was the name that was given to him by Jesus. If we look at John chapter 1, verse 42, it says that Jesus looked at him, which is Peter, but before he was called Peter, he looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated as Peter. So basically he's saying, you are son of John, but you will be Peter. And what is the significance of that? We see that in Matthew. It says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Basically, this word Peter is the word for rock. And he's saying, you are the rock, and on you I will build my church. Now, can you imagine the pride that this is a prophetic calling that Jesus is doing towards Simon Peter. He's saying, your name is Simon, but I'm calling you Peter because you're going to be the rock that I'm going to build my church on. And he says this in John chapter 1, we see that. Can you imagine this guy that everybody's following, and he points you out, and he says that you're going to be the rock that my church is going to build on. And we see, I think there's a bit of pride that Peter had. I think there's a bit of pride that actually led him to be this leader, to let him to be so brash. He says, Jesus, hey, Jesus pointed at me. He said, I have this destiny. I'm going to be the rock on which the church is built. I'm going to be this guy. I got to go out there. I got to do these things. I got to build it. I got to be that guy. And almost like he's trying to live up to this potential of what Jesus is saying. He's calling him prophetically, you are the rock on which I stand, or the rock on which the church will be built on. And we see it again and again. And yet we see now that Simon Peter is in a place of humility, right? He sees maybe if he once had pride that, oh, Jesus said I'm going to be the rock on which the church is going to stand. If he once thought because of that, I'm going to be the best. I'm not going to fail him. I'm going to keep going. But now we see that image, that falseness has now been broken. And now in humility or in humiliation, we see that he comes before Jesus, and Jesus, he asks him, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And why does Jesus refer to him in this way? And I think the reason that Jesus refers to him as Simon, son of John, instead of the name that Jesus himself gave him, which is Peter, is Jesus is asking a question. He's not just asking, do you love me? But each time he asks, each time Jesus asks Simon, "Do you love me?" Jesus then replies to him after the yes. He says, "Tend my sheep, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep." And the question that Jesus is asking Simon is not whether or not you love me, but the other question, and the question we want to look at today is, Simon, are you ready to be Peter? And I think that's the question that Jesus is really asking him today. He says, "Simon, son of John, I have given you this name," this word Peter. "Are you ready to take that name and really be that position? I know you failed me. I know you've fallen. I know you've denied me. And yet, right now, I'm asking you again. Despite all that, now I'm asking you again. Simon, son of John, tend my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Be the rock on which the church will be built." We see that Peter, there may have been pride and confidence before his faith was tested. But having now found that he was tested, that he failed in fact, Jesus comes and he comes with restoration. Right? He comes with restoration. You know, Jesus isn't coming here to rub it in to say, "Oh, do you really love me?" He's not saying that. He's not saying, "Oh, you see, I told you you would fail me." What Jesus is coming here and doing, we see in this passage, he's not only restoring Peter back before his other disciples publicly, restoring him before them, but now he's saying, "Are you ready to take the role that I've called you to? Are you ready to do the thing that I've called you to? Despite all your failures, are you ready to be restored to the position that I originally had for you, which is as the rock of my church?" And as we worship this morning and as we continue to meditate upon this truth, let's really continue to think of how amazing it is, how amazing Jesus' love is. You know, if we take a step back and we read about this first time that Simon Peter meets Jesus again, it says that as soon as he heard that it was the Lord, that he threw himself into the sea. And this idea of throw, it's this idea, it's actually the Greek word balo, which means to throw something without caring for where it will land. And can you imagine where he is at this point? He is Simon Peter. He was ashamed himself by denying the man that he followed for so many years, his teacher, his rabbi, the one that he said he loved, the one that he said he would not fail. And in that shame, now his savior, he has died, his teacher has died, and he has no chance. How can I make it up? And can you imagine the guilt that was filling his heart, that was filling his heart and really poisoning him? Instead of continuing the work that Jesus is doing, we see even that he is going back to his old job as a fisherman. And yet when Jesus appears, there's restoration that happens. That when he sees the Savior, opportunity now to go before Jesus. You know, it doesn't mention what happened, what are the first words when Simon Peter met Jesus. We don't know what, it doesn't explain it here in this passage, what happened in detail. But I can imagine if the one regret that I'm holding in my heart all these months, all this time, of the person that I've betrayed the most, and suddenly I have a chance. Can you imagine the desperation with which he jumped into the water, with which he went before Jesus, and he just asked Jesus for forgiveness? "I'm sorry, Lord. I betrayed you." And now Jesus, in his kindness, in his love, in his grace, he goes before Peter and he says, "Yes, you betrayed me, but now I'm calling you back again to be restored to the position that I had for you, to be the rock of my church." And so why don't we take some time this morning to really meditate upon that truth. And really, you know, there are plans for us as well here today, each and every one of us, that God has a plan for us. And the truth is that many of us, we have fallen from that plan. We've sinned, and there was a plan that God had for us. And oftentimes we may feel that, how can I do that again? Lord, I've fallen too far. But we see that Jesus knows these things. You know, something that Pastor Nate said yesterday was, why do we feel shame before God, who already knows all the mistakes that we're going to do, even before we make them? There's no need for shame before God, who knows all our failures and yet still says, I love you. And so this morning, why don't we just take some time to really meditate? And as Janella plays the song of worship, why don't we take some time to really meditate? And God does have a plan for us. God does have a plan for each and every one of us. We may feel that we've fallen far from that plan. But we see that Jesus, when we come before him really in repentance, when we come before him in desperation, when we come and we jump into the ocean and we swim over to him, even though it seems like a little, it says even in here that it was only 100 yards, that he could have easily waited in the boat and want him. But in desperation, in joy, in repentance, in turning away, he jumps into the water. And so let's come with that attitude before our Savior. Let's come to him with that same desperation. And no matter what's been going on, what's been going on in our lives, Jesus is faithful, and he's kind and he's gracious to give us that restoration.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heaven. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky.
Jesus comes to Simon Peter and he says, the best plan, the plan A, that best plan that I had for you is still available for you. And he says the same thing to us as well, that though we may have fallen away, though we may have stumbled in the middle, that the best plan that he has, that he still has that for us. Before such amazing grace, what other response can we have but to worship and to obey, knowing that we can't do anything of our own strength, but knowing that in him we can do all things. And so why don't we gather together this morning and just continue to pray for our community, knowing of our own strength we can do nothing. Let's really just intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters. And we can see here those with cancer or those going through chemo or waiting for a transplant. Let's just really pray for them, for God's healing hand to come upon them. Let's pray together. Let's also continue to pray for those who are going through different ailments, but also really need that word of salvation. Let's just really come and let's pray for that revelation of truth in their lives. Let's also continue to pray for those who are suffering from other infirmities, and let's just really pray also healing for them as well. Let's also pray for those in our community who are looking for jobs, and let's just really pray for God's provision. Let's turn to our community focus for today, and let's really pray for let's pray for North Korea. Let's also pray for South Korea and for Japan, and let's just really pray for our brothers and sisters who are there working for those future church plants. And let's pray for our contacts there, and let's just really pray for just continued encouragement, continued strength as they do the work out in the field. Let's also pray for our ministries here at church. Let's pray for our intercessory prayer team. Let's also pray for the Well Ministry and the Cascade team. And let's also lift up our hospitality ministries, Welcoming and Barista. Let's also pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's really pray for spiritual growth and unity. And let's especially lift up Pastor Choi as he continues to lead the church. finally, let's pray for the house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's pray for Soho and let's pray for Harborside. Pray for the leaders to have wisdom as they lead their members. So God, knowing the depth and width of your love for us, knowing the heights of your righteousness, God, we come before you with humble hearts this morning, God. If there are areas where we have stumbled and we have fallen, Father, we just want to repent before you, God, knowing that you still love us and that your desire is to restore us. And so, God, would you continue to be with each and every one of my brothers and sisters? Would you continue to be with us as we go throughout our days, God? And that we would live our lives in accordance with the desires of your heart, with the plan that you have for us. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we love you, and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.